household 18 through 27, beginning with Psalms 103, which is paragraph 18, and having several references that unfold naturally from both Science and Health and Miscellaneous Writings. Household, paragraph 18, which is the complete chapter of Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments, to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I will combine this with 19, which is from Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And also with paragraph 20, from Science of Being. And this is platform plank number 26. Purity is the path to perfection. Christian Science demonstrates that none but the pure in heart can see God, as the gospel teaches. In proportion to his purity is man perfect, and perfection is the order of celestial being, which demonstrates life in Christ, life's spiritual ideal. And the next one is paragraph 21 from chapter 7, Physiology. The one real power. Your influence for good depends upon the weight you throw into the right scale. The good you do and embody gives you the only power obtainable. Evil is not power. It is a mockery of strength, which ere long betrays its weakness and falls, never to rise. In paragraph 22 from chapter 9, Creation. Waymarks to Eternal Truth. Even in this world, therefore, let thy garments be always white. Blessed is the man that endureth, overcometh, temptation. For when he is tried, proved faithful, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And the next one is also from Creation, on the previous page of the one just read. And this is with a subtitle of Beatific Presence. Mortals must follow Jesus' sayings and his demonstrations, which dominate the flesh. Perfect and infinite mind enthroned is heaven. The evil beliefs which originate in mortals are hell. Man is the idea of spirit. He reflects the beatific presence, illumining the universe with light. Man is deathless, spiritual. He is above sin or frailty. He does not cross the barriers of time into the vast forever of life, but he coexists with God and the universe. And the next one is paragraph 24. And this is from CS Practice, chapter 12. And it's the last paragraph in the chapter. Scientists, be a law unto yourselves that mental malpractice cannot harm you either when asleep or when awake. Next one is paragraph 25, which is the introductory paragraph to chapter 1, Miscellaneous Writings, The New Birth. He who has named the name of Christ, who has virtually accepted the divine claims of truth and love in divine science, is daily demonstrating from evil, and all the wicked endeavors of suppositional demons can never change the current of that life from steadfastly flowing onto God, its divine source. Next one is paragraph 26, which is from Miscellaneous Writings, chapter 4, Addresses, and this is to the Mother Church for the annual meeting of 1896. One thing I have greatly desired and again earnestly request, namely that Christian scientists here and elsewhere pray daily for themselves, not verbally, not on bended knee, but mentally, meekly, and importunately. When a hungry heart petitions the divine Father, Mother, God for bread, it is not given a stone, but more grace, obedience, and love. If this heart, humble and trustful, faithfully asks divine love to feed it with the bread of heaven, health, holiness, it will be conformed to a fitness to receive the answer to its desire. Then will flow into it the river of his pleasure. The tributary of divine love and great growth in Christian science will follow. Even that joy which finds one's own in another's good. Next paragraph is 27, and that's from Miscellaneous Writings, chapter 5, from Letters. And it's in response to a reply from Zion's Herald about Mary Baker Eddy being prayerless. 3 times a day, I retire to seek the divine blessing on the sick and sorrowing, with my face toward the Jerusalem of love and truth, in silent prayer to the Father, which seeth in secret, and with childlike confidence that he will reward openly. In the midst of depressing care and labor, I turn constantly to divine love for guidance and find rest. It affords me great joy to be able to attest to the truth of Jesus' words. Love makes all burdens light. It giveth a peace that passeth understanding, and with signs following. As to the peace, it is unutterable. As to signs, behold, the sick who are healed, the sorrowful who are made hopeful, and the sinful and ignorant who have become wise unto salvation. This is a very interesting series of paragraphs that are in a sequence that is very important. Of course, everything Mary Baker Eddy does is a divine direction. And looking at Psalms 103, it is a bouncing back and forth from a glimpse at God and then dipping down into the mortal And then rising back up, science and health, starting in the chapter on physiology around page 184, discusses the mortal view, because of course this is physiology. And on page 184, the subtitle, for example, is Laws of Human Belief. On page 185, a so-called mind cure. And following that, Jesus and hypnotism. And on the next page, 186, false stimulus. And then evil, negative, and self-destructive. Following that, ignorant idolatry. The next page, 187, action of mortal mind and death and the body. The next page, 188, embryonic sinful thoughts. Next, disease a dream. Next, on the same page, sense yields to understanding. Okay, now here it's starting to break out of this mortal dream. Sense yields to understanding. On page 189, ascending the scale. So the sequence of this topic in physiology, as noted by the subtitles, indicates that it is in mortality in discussing all this business about physiology, and then there is an awakening. I believe that's what Mary Baker Eddy is indicating as the reason that she put Psalms 103 in this list of 39 paragraphs or 39 topics for her students to study every day. Her students that lived at the home with her in Pleasant View and then in Chestnut Hill. Then at the end of this Psalms 103, where it ended on a high note, again acknowledging God, because it says, Bless the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places, and of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. So in other words, if we follow the laws of God, which is really the seven, the qualities outlined by the seven synonymous terms, that's doing God's pleasure, and then we will actually be recognizing God as the one and only source and manifestation. And then because he has dominion over everything, as God's reflection, we each individually have the opportunity to have dominion over our own experiences. Like it says in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So in other words, the opportunity is there, and we have to individually recognize, accept, live, demonstrate, and become the qualities. And the paragraph that follows 18, the Psalms 103 chapter, is from Proverbs, and it says, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I believe the message that Mary Baker Eddy is giving us is that that's exactly what Psalms 103 is. It is a dip in mortality with all of these enticements, believing the false record of creation after the mist went up, Chapter 2 of Genesis, and she states very clearly, or she is reiterating what Proverbs states very clearly, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So we must not accept the theory that man is made a sinner, made of the dust of the ground, and all this kind of stuff. This is all a lie upon lie that has been carried forth from the birth of Adam, carried forth from all the other lineage of anyone that was speaking from a material standpoint And it was passed on as if it were truth. And particularly after Jesus was born, and after that 300 years, which was a prosperous years for Christianity, and beginning with the Council of Nicene in the mid-300 ADs, that's when the lies really compounded, because they carved out the people that made Christianity a part of the church. They carved out the material picture, and then that, of course, was a lie, and they compounded that lie upon lie. So for 1700 years or 1600 years, they were passing on total falsities to generation after generation, until Mary Baker Eddy broke through in 1866 to discover the truth about God, man, and the relationship between God the Source and His manifestation, man. The next paragraph is paragraph 20, and that is plank number 26 from the platform, Science of Being, chapter 10. Science of Being states, purity, the path to perfection. Christian Science demonstrates that none but the pure in heart can see God, as the gospel teaches. In proportion to his purity is man perfect, and perfection is the order of celestial being, which demonstrates life in Christ, life's spiritual ideal. So Mary Baker Eddy is reminding us, okay, number one, you've got all of this dance of mortal mind going on, as stated in Psalms 103, and in Proverbs she reminds us, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And then, of course, here in this paragraph, she is saying be pure, because that is the path to perfection. She doesn't say it here, but it is the only path to perfection. Spirit is purity. Spirit is the only substance. And we need to constantly remind ourselves. The next paragraph, rereading it also, paragraph 21 from the chapter on physiology, the one real power. Your influence for good depends upon the weight you throw into the right scale. The good you do and embody gives you the only power obtainable. Evil is not power. It is a mockery of strength, which ere long betrays its weakness and falls, never to rise. Well, the prior paragraph said purity is the path to perfection. This one reminds us that there's only one real power, and that evil is not a power at all. It's a mockery of strength. Next paragraph is 22, and this is from chapter 9, Creation. Waymarks to eternal truth. Even in this world, therefore, let thy garments be always white. Blessed is the man that endureth, overcometh temptation, for when he is tried, prove faithful, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now that's a quote, that includes a quote from James 1. So Waymarks to Eternal Truth from the chapter on creation is telling us that the previous quote was reminding us what the one real power was, that evil is not power, but good is, said the good you do and embody gives you the only power obtainable, and that evil is not power. Well, this one is saying, well, here's the path. Here's the path to stay on. It says, let thy garments be always white. And also, blessed is the man that endureth. She explains that the meaning overcometh. That's overcoming temptation. For when he is tried, she explains as meaning proved faithful, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So the path is to Let our garments be always white. Let. It says let. Doesn't mean we have to work for it. It's already there. We have to get self out of the way and let the pureness of spirit be what we reflect. So we need to overcome any temptation, and we need to prove that we are faithful to the Christ consciousness when we are challenged with any kind of suggestion of mortal mind. The next paragraph, which is 23, is also from creation. Beatific presence. Mortals must follow Jesus' sayings and his demonstrations, which dominate the flesh. Perfect and infinite mind enthroned is heaven. The evil beliefs which originate in mortals are hell. Man is the idea of spirit. He reflects the beatific presence, illumining the universe with light. Man is deathless, spiritual. He is above sin or frailty. He does not cross the barriers of time into the vast forever of life, but he coexists with God and the universe. So in other words, this is saying forget about thinking that after death that you are then going to have this great existence in heaven. In other words, it is here and now, but we have to follow Jesus' sayings and his demonstrations, which dominate the flesh, and that will give us the introduction to our opportunity to be, as Jesus was, the Son of God. Beatific presence. We have to see the beauty in the omnipresence of God. God is the only thing that is perfect. So our option is either accept something less than what it should be. Next paragraph is 24. That is from CS Practice. It's the final paragraph of the chapter. Another reminder to ourselves. Scientists, be a law to yourselves that mental malpractice cannot harm you either when asleep or when awake. So again, there's the mortality. Mental malpractice, previous paragraph, it talked about death. It says man is deathless. Man is the idea of spirit. He reflects the beatific presence, illumining the universe with light. So it's not our own little self. It's the whole universe that's involved. Now, if we keep awake, as it tells us to do in the previous paragraph, be a law unto yourselves, the mental malpractice cannot harm you either when asleep or when awake. And of course, the idea is that we need to be awake all the time mentally. All the time mentally. When we go to sleep, we should have that Christ consciousness. In other words, we need to be conscious of the Christ consciousness just before we drop off to sleep. And the first thing when we awaken. Next paragraph, 25, and this is from Miscellaneous Writings, Chapter 1, Introduction. Very, very interesting. This is titled The New Birth. So in other words, if we are alert all the time, as the previous paragraph stated, in other words, do not submit to any law of mental malpractice, because it is no law. Be a law to yourself. Spirit is the law. Mind is the director, not matter, not mortal mind. Those are theories. Those are lies upon lies that have been passed on through the generations. They're not the truth of being. So the new birth is going to give us an opportunity to totally shed any belief of mortality. Here's the text. He who has named the name of Christ, who has virtually accepted the divine claims of truth and love in divine science, is daily departing from evil, and all the wicked endeavors of suppositional demons can never change the current of that life from steadfastly flowing on to God, its divine source. It appears that the message is that if we name Christ as our consciousness, in other words, the Christ consciousness, if we accept the Christ consciousness, because it says accepted the divine claims of truth and love in divine science, is daily departing from evil. So if we accept the truth about what God is, what man is, and the relationship between God, the source, and man, the manifestation, then there is no evil. The prior paragraph, it reminded us to be a law to ourselves so that mental malpractice cannot harm us either when asleep or awake. Well, this is saying that if we name the name of Christ, which means identify with the Christ consciousness, and then it says here, who has virtually accepted the divine claims of truth and love in divine science, is daily departing from evil, and all the wicked endeavors of suppositional demons can never change the current of that life from steadfastly flowing onto God, its divine source. And the word life here is a lowercase. So in other words, as we reflect out a pure human life, in other words, purify the human concept of life by exchanging any mortal concept for the spiritual concept, that reflects out into the universe. I believe that's what it means when it says steadfastly flowing onto God. God is the source and we're the manifestation, so we can't be the source for God. We are just reflecting out into all existence the good that we do and embody, the purity that we reflect. Therefore, we're reflecting out into the atmosphere for the benefit of all humanity. It's like Mr. Winslow says, the kingdom of God is within, and don't let the phone aggravate you. Don't pick it up and answer it. Don't let it cause you to take action to receive it, accept it, but listen to the KOG radio station instead of picking up the phone of mortal mind, listening to station KOG instead of picking up the phone of mortal mind will then open the door for us to be reflecting the atmosphere of truth instead of taking in something from a mortal suggestion, which of course is always false, always a fable, and of no value whatsoever. Then everyone that has an open thought will benefit from that reflecting out of our own individual consciousness to the entire atmosphere of thought, which is available to everyone. Just as what other people reflect out is available to us. We have to make sure we do the filtering, just as everyone else does, so that we only permit thoughts to be accepted, recognized, and accepted that are pure thoughts, angel thoughts. Paragraph 26. This is the message to the annual meeting, and this is how we do it. It says, one thing I've greatly desired and again earnestly request, namely that Christian scientists here and elsewhere pray daily for themselves, not verbally, nor on bended knee, but mentally, meekly, and importunately, which means with urgent request, with pressing solicitation. And she follows that with this. When a hungry heart petitions the divine Father, Mother, God for bread, it is not given a stone, but more grace, obedience, and love. So bread is understanding. Talked about in the Bible, Jesus breaking bread with his disciples. In other words, he was explaining it. He was explaining the truth that was being given out at the meal. Forget the food. That was only a symbol. The real thing was the spirituality that was flowing out from Jesus, sharing the spiritual understanding that he had. When a hungry heart petitions the divine Father, Mother, God for bread, it is not given a stone. So in other words, if we are ready, if we have decided that mortality is not any good, that the mortal sense of life, substance, and intelligence in matter is the wrong path to go forward, and we're ready to give that up, we're ready to look to God as our only source of life, truth, and intelligence. Not matter, but spirit. Spirit is going to be what we look to. The real substance. Not a facade, but the real thing. If this heart, humble and trustful, faithfully asks divine love to feed it with the bread of heaven, health, holiness, it will be conformed to a fitness to receive the answer to its desire. So we have to be fit. We have to be prepared. We have to be ready to receive it. And we can only be ready to receive it if we've gotten rid of the error, the blemishes in any thoughts that we might be entertaining. We have to clean out the closet if we're going to put fresh things in there. And the closet is our consciousness. It follows that up with this. It says, then will flow into it the river of His pleasure. That's capital H, so that's God's pleasure. So, just like King Solomon, which was King David's son, he asked for justice. In other words, he asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom so that he could give fair justice to his people, because the king is the one that made all the decisions, and he wanted to be fair to his people. And because that's what he desired, God gave him every possible convenience and wealth that anyone could ever imagine. And it's deemed that he's, to this day, the wealthiest man that ever lived. It's just like other successful people have stated, that if they focus on the profit they will make from a deal that they're involved in or they're negotiating for, they probably would fail. But they were trying to structure it so that the principle would be complying with the standard of truth, so that all the elements for a successful venture would be there. Had nothing to do with the fact of how much money they would make. It was whether or not that the structure was proper. And the best ones were eternally patient, waiting for the, quote, mortal mind of others to mature to the point that they decided that, yes, that would be beneficial for them. And it states here that not only will the river of His pleasure flow to those that conformed to a fitness, but that the tributary of divine love, which is what the pleasure is defined as, but in addition to that, that great growth in Christian Science will follow. Even the joy that one finds one's own in another's good. So in other words, the greatest joy of all is seeing the success of someone else. Seeing good come to another. That is the greatest good that anyone could experience. The greatest joy is seeing others happy. Seeing others having a benefit. Seeing others having a need fulfilled. That's the selfless attitude that Jesus had. Unselfless, totally thinking about the other individual or group. The next one is paragraph 27, and that is from Zion's Herald about Mary Baker Eddy being accused of being prayerless. Her reply is this: 3 times a day I retire to seek the divine blessing on the sick and sorrowing, with my face toward the Jerusalem of love and truth, in silent prayer to the Father, which seeth in secret, and with childlike confidence that He will reward openly. In the midst of depressing care and labor, I turn constantly to divine love for guidance and find rest. It affords me great joy to be able to attest to the truth of Jesus' words, love makes all burdens light. It giveth a peace that passeth understanding, and with signs following. As to the peace, it is unutterable. As to signs, behold the sick who are healed, the sorrowful who are made hopeful, and the sinful and ignorant who have become wise unto salvation. Well, there you have it. The benefits of praying for the benefit of others, not a specific individual, but for all mankind, unutterable peace. It is so fantastic, so wonderful. And the signs, well, she healed the sick, healed the sinful, raised the dead. What more could there be? Nada. That's it. That's our purpose in life. Our purpose is to overcome the belief of sin, sickness, and death. And Mary Baker Eddy did that not only for herself, but she did that for humanity, giving us divine science, as stated in the textbook. There's the textbook of divine science. That is the opportunity given to us so that we could not only follow Jesus' sayings and perform healings, or get out of the way and let truth perform the healings. So not only is it an instruction manual on how we should think, talk, act, but it totally enables a transformation of the atmosphere and replaces one more little bit of air of universal belief that seems to be in the atmosphere that is omnipresent, and replaces it with the real omnipresent truth. It takes away the power of suggestion that seems to be constant. The phone seems to be ringing constantly, and whatever I do that is good, the good I do and embody, that generates power which benefits all humanity. And of course, that good I do and embody is only a reflection of the one good, God, and of the one power, God. God is the only power. An individual doesn't generate power. It's just the power of God is better reflected out into the atmosphere when we have the lens of spirit that is utilized, so that there is no error in what we project out. This concludes paragraphs 18 through 27 of the 39, which is a part of the group entitled Household.